just a moment of the characteristic of godliness. I simply want to say that that term includes obedience to all of the laws of God. It includes refraining from sin. So to add to our faith all of these marvelous characteristics that Peter lists, we also have to take off sin. My point is that that is simply implied in this list of characteristics. We have to take off sin in order to put on all of these glorious characteristics. That's certainly part of Peter's call. Now, at this point in our passage, I want to start to draw a diagram of what Peter is telling us. Peter begins by telling us of what God does. That's why I have God in the center of that square, what God does. God grants us the gift of faith and the power and the knowledge and the promises, everything we need to build on that faith, everything we need for godliness, for life. And then Peter tells us what we Christians, for this very reason, should do. That's why I have Christians in big, bold print there. This is what Christians are to do. We Christians should make every effort to go after these godly characteristics. That's what we are to do. Those are the two major statements that we've seen so far in the opening of this letter from Peter. Peter tells us, here's what God has done. And we Christians are therefore to do this. That's what Peter has explained so far. Now, after listing characteristics Christians should make every effort to have, Peter uses the word for again. He uses that word several times in these verses. The conjunction for means Peter is going to tell us why going after this list of characteristics is important. Peter says, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is telling us that the more we increase these characteristics in our lives, the more fruitful for Christ we will be. We will glorify Christ. We will spur others on to glorify Christ. We will be part of people coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Our lives will be fruitful in many ways. The increasing characteristics of godliness increases our fruit. Peter tells us this is the reason to go after these characteristics. The characteristics produce godly, Christ-honoring fruit in our lives. I'll diagram that like this. For fruitfulness, we should say yes to Peter's call to make every effort to go after the godly characteristics. So you see the flow. Here's what God has done. Here is what we are to do. And here's why we are to do it. For it produces fruitfulness in our lives. Now, in verse 9, there's another word for, another conjunction for, that introduces a completely different statement. Peter writes in verse 9, for whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. This for statement is the opposite of verse 8. In this for statement, Peter is telling us what your situation is if you are not going hard after the characteristics. If you're not going after the characteristics, then you are blind to this amazing, gracious gift from God that you have received. It is like you have terrible amnesia because you are living as if you don't remember you have been cleansed of all of your sins. You're living like you don't remember what Christ has amazingly done for you at such a great cost through His blood. That, of course, is a negative statement. We should want to avoid ending up practicing verse 9. So we can diagram it like this. For if we say no to adding those godly characteristics to our faith, then we're going to end up blind and unfruitful. That's what Peter is saying. As Christians, we are either going to make every effort to go hard after these godly characteristics and hence be fruitful, or we're going to say no to those godly characteristics and not go after them, and we're going to end up blind and unfruitful. Those are ultimately two big choices in a Christian's life. Which path are we going to go down? Now, those two choices lead up to an extremely important therefore in verse 10. Verse 10 is the crux of the matter. Peter writes, "Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall." Now, dear Christians, if you have your Bibles, your own personal Bibles open, if you're using one of those apps, Bible apps on your phone, this might be one of the verses you want to underline. Peter is clearly telling us how we know we are elect. Peter is telling us that the assurance of our election comes from fruitfulness. Assurance of election comes from doing everything he just said in the previous verses. We can diagram it like this. Understand what God has done. Understand the faith he has graciously given. And for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith godly characteristics. Do that to be fruitful, and therefore, in that way, confirm your election. Assurance of election comes from fruitfulness, which comes from making every effort to add to your faith those godly characteristics. First of all, know that faith is a gracious gift. You have to know it's a gracious gift, and then use that gift to go hard after the godly characteristics. That's how you can know you are elect. We can, let me give you a picture just to visualize this. Imagine that I showed you a branch from a tree that had absolutely no leaves on it. I just showed you a branch from a tree, no leaves on it, nothing on it, just the bare branch. If I showed you that branch, do you think you could identify what kind of tree it is? That would be pretty tough, wouldn't it, to identify that tree? Probably are some people here who could do that. I don't know. But it would be pretty hard, without leaves, without anything on that branch, to identify the kind of tree it is. But now if I showed you a branch from that same tree that was full of leaves and grapefruit, could you identify the tree? I think all of us could, right? If you saw those big yellow grapefruit hanging there on the branch, you'd say, oh, well, that's a grapefruit tree. How would you know that? Because of the fruit, right? The fruit is evidence of what this tree is. And it's the same way in the Christian's life. The fruitfulness Peter is speaking of is very clear evidence of election, of salvation. Do you want to know you are elect? Take hold of this free gift of faith. Go hard after the godly characteristics and produce fruit. That's how you know you are elect. That's what the holy inspired word of God tells us. And of course, the opposite, the unspoken, the opposite is true as well, which is unspoken in this passage. If you are blind and unfruitful, if you go down that path, then you have absolutely no reason to be assured of your election. And I'll simply diagram that as well. We'll put that one last block over there saying what will happen if you go down the path of not making the effort to put on those characteristics. If you're blind and unfruitful, as Peter describes, then you really have reason to question your election, don't you? Now, does this mean then that we become Christians by bearing those fruits? No, of course not. We are not saved by our works. We don't become Christians by bearing fruit any more than a grapefruit tree becomes a grapefruit tree by bearing grapefruit. That's not how grapefruit trees become grapefruit trees, is it? Not by bearing fruit. They bear fruit because they are grapefruit trees. The grapefruit is simply evidence of what they are. And fruit is evidence in our lives of what we are. We're not saved by our works, but those works come because of who we are, because of what Christ has done in our lives. Fruit is evidence. Looking for the fruit is the right way to be assured of your election. For a new Christian, the simple evidence would be faith. Faith, repentance, faith in Christ. And if someone has been a Christian for 20 years, well, then you should be able to point to some other fruit as well, right? If you've been a Christian for 20 years, you should be able to point at some of those characteristics Peter lists there and say, yeah, those have been producing in my life. What we're learning from Peter is exactly what the canons of Dort say. Please get out your hymnals with me. I'm not going to put this up on the screen, so please get out your hymnals with me and turn to page 929. One of my goals is to have us spend time in the actual document of the canons, just to simply get to know the document. And we're going to read several articles from the canons now tonight, so please just keep your hymnals open and turn right now to page 929. On that page, at the top right-hand corner of that page, you see that we are still under the main first point. Okay, it says it up there, that we're under that first main point yet on page 929. Now look with me at Article 12. It's called the Assurance of Election. That's the title of it, Article 12, Assurance of Election. Now as we read this article, I believe you will agree it summarizes well what we've learned tonight from the Apostle Peter. It says, assurance of this their eternal and unchangeable election to salvation is given to the chosen in due time, though by various stages and in differing measure. Such assurance comes not by inquisitive searching into the hidden and deep things of God, but by noticing within themselves with spiritual joy and holy delight, the unmistakable fruits of election pointed out in God's Word, such as true faith in Christ, a childlike fear of God, a godly sorrow for their sins, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and so on. That article says exactly what Peter says. The article doesn't list all the characteristics Peter does. This article is really, I think, addressed to a new believer, mainly a new believer. But the article gives a great summary of what Peter is speaking of, godly sorrow, a hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's a great summary of going hard after all those characteristics that Peter lists. What I especially appreciate about this article in the canons is that it calls us to look at the fruit in our lives rather than going on some inquisitive search into the hidden and deep things of God, which we cannot know and should not try to know. You are not going to know you are elect by trying to figure out how God elects people or why God elects people. All of that is up to God. That is God's business. Our business is gladly, humbly, joyfully bearing fruit unto the glory of our gracious Lord and Savior Jesus. And once you see the fruit in your life, you can know, you can have assurance that you are elect. Listen to this. This assurance will not be a matter of pride at all. I guarantee you are not going to become proud and strut around talking about how God elected you. If you understand everything Peter is saying, you won't do that. You will be all the more humble when you know how this fruit was produced in you, that it's all because of God's gracious gift of faith and everything else he's given along with that faith. Look at what Article 13 says. This is a great article as well. Article 13 says, in their awareness and assurance of this election, God's children daily find greater cause to humble themselves before God, to adore the fathomless depth of his mercies, to cleanse themselves, to give fervent love in return to him who first so greatly loved them. This is far from saying that this teaching concerning election and reflection upon it makes God's children lax in observing his commandments or carnally self-assured. By God's just judgment, this does usually happen to those who casually take for granted the grace of election or engage in idle and brazen talk about it, but are unwilling to walk in the ways of the chosen. What this article is saying is this: if you are truly bearing fruit, you are not going to become proud of it and start to take for granted what God has done for you. Rather, you're going to become all the more humble, all the more aware of God's amazing grace in your life, what he has done for you. Now, the application to what we are learning tonight is pretty clear, isn't it? The application is pretty clear. Look at your life and ask the question, are you bearing fruit? Do you have faith alone in Christ Jesus alone? That's the starting point. Do you have faith alone in Christ alone? And are you with joy and humility doing all you can to add to that faith the characteristics that Peter mentions? Is that your desire? Is that your hunger? Of course, we all struggle in various ways. We have temptations, we sin, and all of that. But what is your desire? What is your aim? What are you going for? That's the question. Answering that question is how you know you are elect. And now that answer raises the question. So, what if you're not feeling anything like that toward Christ? What if your spirituality is stale? What if you don't feel like reading your Bible? What if you feel like you're just going through the motions of Christianity? You just come to church because that's what's expected. The canons actually have a very pastoral statement about that very situation. The canons actually have several beautiful pastoral statements. This is a very pastoral document. I hope you come to appreciate that as we continue to engage with it. There are amazing pastoral statements in these articles. We're going to look at one of them right now. Now look at Article 16 with me on page 930. Page 930, Article 16. We're going to read through this slowly, and I'm going to make some comments here. The article says, those who do not yet actively experience within themselves a living faith in Christ or an assured confidence of heart, peace of conscience, a zeal for childlike obedience, and the glorying in God through Christ, but who nevertheless use the means by which God has promised to work these things in us. And let me just pause there. It's important to see it says we should be using the means God works good characteristics in us. We should be coming to church. We should be reading God's word, even if we don't feel like it. We should be praying, even when we don't feel like it. We should be making an effort. If we're doing that and still feel stale in our Christianity, if we're not seeing the fruit we think we should be seeing, but we're doing that, we're making use of what God has given us, these means. For making use of the means, the canons say, such people ought not to be alarmed at the mention of reprobation, nor to count themselves among the reprobate. Rather, they ought to continue diligently in the use of the means, to desire fervently a time of more abundant grace, and to wait for it in reverence and humility. Now, that's a beautiful statement if you think about it. The canons are really saying, no, now don't worry, just continue on. Continue to make effort. If you're making the effort, you're on the right path. That's what my little diagram on the screen shows. If you're making the effort, if you're using the means, then don't worry. Keep making the effort. And the canons go on to emphasize that. It says, on the other hand, those who seriously desire to turn to God, to be pleasing to Him alone, and to be delivered from the body of death, but are not yet able to make such progress along the way of godliness and faith as they would like, such people ought much less to stand in fear of the teaching concerning reprobation, since our merciful God has promised that He will not snuff out a smoldering wick and that He will not break a bruised reed. So if you are seriously desiring the right path, then you should especially not worry about your election. That's what this article is saying. If you are seriously longing for that right path, but you don't see all of the progress you think you should see, don't worry. Just keep working on it. Now, these are great comforting statements in the canons, and I encourage you to use those statements. This document is for us. You have it. You can find it on the internet. You can put it on your phone. Use it. There's some awesome statements here. These comments were well written by many wise people attending that synod 400 years ago. They had done a lot of study. We should use these things. Now, having said that, I also want to point out that the canons give warnings as well. They give warnings. Well, the canons are pastoral both ways. Warnings are pastoral, by the way. They pastorally give encouragement, and the canons pastorally give warnings. Look at how Article 16 ends. I hope you're following along your hymnal. Article 16 ends by saying this: however, those who have forgotten God and their Savior Jesus Christ and have abandoned themselves wholly to the cares of the world and the pleasures of the flesh, such people have every reason to stand in fear of this teaching as long as they do not seriously turn to God. That statement is talking about the box I've now circled on our diagram of Peter's passage. If you're not making any effort, if you have abandoned yourself to the ways of the world, if you don't really care what God wants in your life, if you're not hungry to know what the Scriptures say, if obedience to the Word of God really doesn't matter to you, then please understand. You don't have any reason to be sure of your election. But here's the good news. If you are convicted by that tonight, then that can change right now. That's the good news. Because salvation is not by our works, about what we've done before we've walked into this room tonight. It's about the grace of God. And tonight you're here and you're hearing this, and if this convicts you, then all of this can change right now. You can repent of your sins and turn to Jesus as Lord and Savior and recognize that He has given you the glorious, gracious gift of faith. And by His power and all that He has so amazingly given, you can start to add to that faith everything that Peter lists. That can happen right now. That's the good news. Salvation is free. Now I want to close by adding one last part to our diagram. I want to show you how Peter ends this passage that we've been looking at. Peter writes underneath that, really what I'm showing is underneath that diagram, having given us that diagram in his writing, Peter writes then, therefore, I intend to always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. And Peter goes on from there to talk about how he's going to remind them of these qualities, remind them of this diagram. You know, we Christians constantly need to be spurred on. We live in a fallen world. We have a fallen human nature. We constantly need to be spurred on in our walk with Christ. And Peter says, I'm going to be diligent unto that end. Before I die, I'm going to do all that I can to make sure that you are reminded of these things, that you never forget them. And that's what hopefully is happening in this sermon and hopefully happening in all of our ministries here at First Church, that we are reminded of these things, that yes, God has been gracious to us. Yes, our salvation is free, but now go hard after these things. That's what we should be doing. We need constant encouragement in that way. Please bow with me in prayer. Father God Almighty,